kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Our guest, I actually told him next week, and I thought it was this week, and so we have no guest. And so it's just me sitting here right now, and that's it. That's all I got.
It was kind of last minute, you know. I didn't even watch the movie. I tried to watch it last night. I couldn't download it. It's not on YouTube.
I own it. If you'd like to borrow it, Jeremy,
that'd be great.
Okay, we'll do Mandy next week. It deserves better than a shoddy episode. It deserves better than this, Jeremy. You know it.
So fucking tired. You don't even know. I did 50 hours this week.
You look like you've lost a legitimate amount of weight. Like, you don't look fat in the jowl area, which is normally where your fatness really, I feel like, shows the most.
It's AIDS. That's what it is.
So you're telling me that's why you got fired from your job?
Yeah.
Is because you have AIDS?
Yeah, I sat on the wrong wrong toilet. That's where I got it. I got the AIDS COVID. So
co-AIDS. Cavids.
No, I'm coughing out of my ass.
Well, since you're already here, we might as well I'm already recording. We can just shoot the shit for a couple minutes. I'll let you go back to bed.
I'm almost on, so.
You're almost
on? I'm going to drink a rock star.
You're a goddamn rock star in and of yourself. What's it like being the breadwinner of the family now?
I'm not. She's still getting unemployment, which is half of what she made, which is probably still closer to making close to real money, so.
That's cool.
Yeah,
earlier this week, Jeremy, I have a funny story. By the way, welcome to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Woodworth. We have no movie today because we're woefully unprepared. But
you're prepared.
I am not. I don't even have I didn't pull the regular sound clips because I had a Blu-ray and apparently I can't use the Blu-ray in my computer, so I couldn't rip the fucking normal level of audio clips that we have for a show. Everything's wrong, and so we're gonna push it off to another week. Our guest, I actually told for next week, and I thought it was this week, and so I fucked up in every way, shape, or form. This week's episode.
Awesome.
Which is why we're here now. And we're shooting the shit. I don't know. We'll call it something bonus something again over Quality Time. Which
bonus.
Which is code for we fucked up this week and needed content to make. So, So earlier this week, Jeremy, at my day job, which is fucking driving me to the point of insanity. There was a gentleman on one of the crews that tested positive for COVID-19, okay?
Yes.
So the crew got grounded, and since Tuesday of this week, I have been waiting on the test results from the guy who deals with that crew who works about 10 feet away from me when I go into the office. So
nice.
I've been waiting urgently to find out that if I am just walking around with COVID-19, spraying it around like it's no big deal. I'm very excited, Jeremy. It's been weighing on my mind all week.
Whether or not you'll be able to see your wife for another month. So,
oh man, if I bring COVID into the house, my marriage might be over. It might be. I've failed all quarantine measures at that point. So that's what I'm walking around with right now. Although I will say, if I was exposed to it, it probably would have been Monday. So it's been about 5 days. I'm showing zero symptoms, okay? Not even, no sore throat, no nothing. Fine. I'm still working out. Still fucking jacked to the nines. My body is in peak performance, which means I can go up a flight of steps and not get out of breath. So,
unlike me.
Yes. So I'm waiting to see if I have COVID or not right now, or if I'm just one of those special guys that shows no symptoms, but I'm getting everyone sick around me that I meet, which, incidentally enough, Jeremy, I am going to an actual comedy show tonight at the State Theater, and I'm going to see Mr. Justin Schlegel, Miss Wendy Townsend, and a bunch of other comedians that I will be in close proximity with, and they're filming something that's going to go on the internet tonight. So
nice.
I have potential not only to possibly have it myself, but to spread it to 98 Rock's own Justin Schlegel tonight. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, spreading it to celebrities is much better than normal people, so.
Yeah. I feel like that would really, it would make having COVID worth it if I get it to somebody. You know, if I got, like, you sick, I would feel bad, but, you know, everybody gets their family sick. If you get, like, a celebrity, local or higher, I mean, that's a big get, no?
Fuck yeah. And on the internet at that, so.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if, like, before the show he gets it, he's extremely susceptible to it, and he just mid-set, he does, like, that fucking shit from Outbreak, or he's like, yeah, I'm doing fine, or, like, the part from Chernobyl, he's like, there is no graph light, he just coughs blood, like, in the middle of his act. That's a new level for me. That would be awesome.
That was just an extreme coincidence when he vomited after picking up that graphite, so.
There is no fucking graphite.
And his hand went numb, so.
So cool. Yeah, that's what's been going on in my life this week, Jeremy, other than the crippling. So I guess I should be clear. My day job, which I took a new position within my company, big raise, okay? I'm in over my head, okay? I'm in over my head, and I am just lying every single day to the people around me that I can handle this job. And I will not admit that I can't, because I'm a proud man, but that's 100% the goddamn truth of what's happening right now.
Good job, Christy McVie. So
I have lied my way into position and used my business negotiating skills to get me a great position job. I just don't. Every day I'm there, I'm like, I don't think I can do this job. I don't think I can. But I'm going to keep showing up.
I was laid off from my job last Friday, and I found out the morning from my wife that I wasn't going in on Friday. And the question was, I thought you had seniority. You were there when there was only like four or five people on the night shift. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's great. That sucks. Either way, what's his name? My advocate from my temp company called me up and said he had something for me, and I had to go take a drug test and might have a new job. And I had a new job Monday.
That's nice. And,
working at a certain other company. I'm trying to be as what's the word?
Politically correct, so you don't get shit canned by talking about them hiring you.
No, not so much that, the names of the companies, but, let's just say, I've been working there all week. I'm doing my job at the new job, and who shows up but the kid from the other job that got canned.
Yeah, so tell us, so there's a guy that was at your other job, and this is the guy, if we go back, what, 2 weeks now in episodes? Maybe 3 weeks, yeah, by the time this airs? That this is the guy who does way too many pills and is just barely like, he's basically Sid from Sid and Nancy, but at your job?
Yes.
Okay.
The one who couldn't actually stack a pallet because he was too high on pills is now at the new job. So
the guy who looks like his favorite hobby is to fall down completely flat, dead on the floor, and then you guys start to call 911. He goes, I'm feeling great, and pops back up like he's grandma from fucking Bad Santa. That's the guy you're talking about.
So, yeah, I'm thinking, how the hell did you pass a drug test, and why are you here? And hate to say, I got to know the guy a little better, and I think the quote of the day for him was, yeah, I do enough fucking up on drugs. So that was the quote of the day.
Did you? The funniest part is when Jeremy was talking to this guy, who we'll just say his name is Neil, and he goes in, he was just like, hey, Neil, how did you pass the drug test? And he leans into you and goes, they don't test for glue. And he just takes out the look, and he has that Nicolas Cage moment where he like sniffs the glue up and then fucking just goes ape shit, just like Nicolas Cage and Mandy. Oh my god, our guest has showed up, Jeremy. We might have an actual show here. Holy shit. Oh my god, it's Evan Lappin. Evan Lappin, you made it, dude.
You didn't tell me it was today.
I know. We were about to call it off. I was about... Well, I fucked up. I know. I told you it was going to be next week. And
yeah,
then I was
I
just,
haven't even rewatched it.
I know. We fucked it all up, man. We fucked it. I fucked it all up. But I'd like to distribute the blame amongst all of you equally, if that's okay.
Yeah.
For my own sanity.
I just, like, I can't remember parts of it, and it's... I just remember it's like a wild acid trip with Nicolas Cage.
Hey, we're just making some content right now because I fucked up. And frankly, don't have the proper show prep. Nothing's in place. Everything is done. Fucking cats and dogs living together in a society. I don't know where I'm going. How are you, sir? Welcome to the pod.
Not too bad. I just kind of woke up, so...
I know. Well, you're a hard-working night shift man just like Jeremy, so I woke both of you up to join me at the crack of noon today, and I understand it's very difficult on both of your schedules. Yeah. Jeremy, have you met Evan before?
Yeah, I think... Oh, yes, we have.
I think I remember which... where on 95 and which bathroom I met him, but I know I've met him before. So.
I respect that.
Man, his splooge just covered my face like no other man has.
Hell yeah, brother. Evan, have you, let's just introduce you real quick. This is Evan Lappin. Welcome to the show. You are a rugby writer.
Yes. Well, exactly right now.
Oh, not exactly right now. But in the past, you have you basically publish rugby articles about different games covering the DC Old Glory when they're actually playing club championships. A lot of Rocky Gorge coverage from here local in Maryland. Written for USA Rugby and Rugby Today. Am I right on both of those? Or are we not supposed to mention their names anymore because they haven't hired you in a while?
Yeah, I played for Gorge for a while, and then I got too hurt to keep on playing because I kind of really wanted to walk again. And then got into the writing side of it and just built up a resume of doing some good work and parlayed that into working for USA Rugby and working for Old Glory. Unfortunately, right now, because of all this crap going on, can't really do much of writing.
Oh, really? Why is that?
There's nothing going on, so I can't play. Can't do anything.
I don't watch the news, so I'm kind of out of the loop. You know, I'm just, it's me, it's horror movies, and that's it. I don't know anything else that happens out there.
Yeah, but it's just, this is a weird time that we're in right now that I don't even know what day it is. So.
Right. Talk about how certain rugby players would be doing really great if they're actually playing right now, you know, in possibility time.
Oh, it's a different time and a different. I could if I was right now, I'd probably be. If it was a home game for Old Glory, I'd be down in D.C. at the stadium watching the game, reporting on the game. I'd be up in the press box. Having a grand old time.
Having a couple brewskis, which is how you like to write. Like a classically trained Ernest Hemingway type writer. You have to get fucking four absinths deep before you can comment on Josh Brown running over the 50-meter line. Am I right?
Pretty much. It's it's fun times. It's like that's my element. So like your Elm is probably on the stage ripping out jokes. Your Elm is probably dressed up in a clown costume. So
yeah, Jerry hasn't seen any of his clown friends in weeks.
I know. No, I talk to my clown friend on the regular, but yeah, you're pretty much like the moderator of the game, making it up with the hospital and COVID-19 is actually Nurse Ratchet getting really angry.
Yeah, I see what you
make up a game.
I see what you did there. Now, for our listeners who don't know, DC Old Glory is the professional rugby team for the DC metro area. No Baltimore team, just DC Old Glory.
Old Glory DC.
It's Old Glory DC. I'm just, yes. Well, thanks.
Just a little.
You're
bit
out of practice.
I'm all out of practice. I'm all out of sorts. I'm fucking living in a COVID-drenched nightmare. The only thing you missed is possible. I was exposed to COVID-19 on Monday and haven't shown any symptoms. Maybe just one of those guys that spread it everywhere. We're having fun. Might get Justin Schlegel sick tonight when I see him. Evan, I have a show actually tonight, okay? A real show where I'm going to a venue to perform in front of no one so that it can be broadcast.
Are you going down to Georgia or something?
No, I'm going to the State Theater in Havard Grace, Maryland, and I'm performing in a wrestling ring that is outfitted with one of the giant boom cameras that moves up and down, and it's going to be filmed and broadcast live for charity tonight. And first of all, I don't know what's more depressing, okay? And I had this conversation with Tommy Cimbazzo, friend of the show, friend of mine, co-host of with me on Laugh Finder, another fun show that we have. And I don't know what's more depressing, and maybe you could weigh in. Is it more depressing to do live comedy just from your home, like how I am right now, where you hear no reactions about how you're doing at all? Or is it more depressing to go to a venue with no one there and get the exact same results? I really don't know yet. I don't know. I'm going to find out tonight.
Well, now you know what a Liz Warren rally is like. So.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Good dig, Jer. Good dig.
It's kind of the same thing as like going and watching WWE with nobody in the crowd.
Yes, I mean,
nobody, or the UFC with nobody like oohing and aahing on like a big hit or something like that.
It really is hard for me to watch. I'm an avid wrestling fan. I can't watch wrestling right now without.
No.
I didn't realize how important the audience being there is, but it's fucking unwatchable. There's maybe 5 to 10 minutes of this hour long show that is actually digestibly good, and the rest of it is just sad. It's like watching sad pornography.
Exactly.
It's fucking horrible, man. I don't want to imagine anything like that happening. So I basically read the dirt sheets the next day to find out what happened on the show so I don't have to be depressed. Man.
That is the best pornography, though, like when the girl is so high on drugs that she's barely awake when she's being raped by the other guys.
That's where we were all thinking, Jeremy. I realize.
Rape porn.
It's like that old Bloodhound Gang song. The lap dance is so much better when the stripper's crying.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Said her name was Rufus.
Hell yeah. I like it when they're crying and I'm like, hey, what's your fans only page? Because I'd like to subscribe. Also, another thing tonight, I'm performing in a wrestling ring. So I know my buddy Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock, he's closing out the show. I proposed to him, I was like, listen, we're doing jokes in front of nobody. Let's do something different. Let's utilize the ring. I'm coming in tonight to interrupt his set, and he is going to perform multiple wrestling moves on my big ass. And I mean, not like little ones. Like, he's going to fucking suplex me, legs fully up in the air, and drop me on my back. I am not going to be able to drive home, I don't think. I'm very excited and a little nervous about all of it.
Why does this remind me of John Turturro and John Goodman and Barton Fink?
It's very similar. But I'm out there to put Justin over. It's his set, so that's a wrestling term for making the other guy look real strong. I'm gonna make him look good.
So who did you dress up as for the our Gorge picnic, wrestling picnic? Do you remember?
I was not part of Rocky Gorge when you guys had the wrestling picnic.
I thought you were there.
It was the year before I joined. That was Sean Kelly and all them, but I had graduated the following year and then joined you after that.
I dress up as a Big Boss Man. Remember that.
You are a solid Big Boss Man. There's two things you could dress up as and look like. One, you could be the Big Boss Man. Two, you could be... Do you know, like, in Terminator 2, the one guy who is, like, he's at the insane asylum. He's, like, the cop, and then he walks around, and then the T-1000 looks at him, and they're actually twin brothers in real life. And then, like, he does the little thing. You could be that guy 100%. Dead ringer.
My other question would be: is it, if you're in the ring, are they gonna do like theater in the round, and you could walk around and look at, or are you just gonna be facing one direction, or how's that gonna work? Have they told you?
I have no idea. I'm just gonna show up, and then I probably what you said. Probably just one camera watching us. I don't know if there's multiple cameras. I don't know anything like that. I know I'm in there. I'm going to play some fucking silly songs that I've written about bronies and pulling out. And then I'm going to then get off stage and then come back and attack Justin Schlegel. That's my...
Okay.
It's the only thing I know.
Can I say who I think Evan could be as a wrestler?
Who's that?
Who?
China.
Yeah. It's because his clit's so big. I gotcha.
Jeez.
Have you ever seen China's out of the ring work before, Evan?
Out of curiosity, I think.
Out of curiosity. Okay, so I've watched it, and she has multiple videos just check out your local Pornhub or whatever. You can see some interesting China videos. She legit has a dick-sized clit. I mean, it's not... I mean, it's fucking... That fucking clit fucks you. There's no question about it.
So it really is a reach under.
Dude, yeah. A reach around?
Yeah.
Reach under.
But she's very strong, and she has a She-Hulk themed episode up where lots of green paint gets everywhere, and it is frightening. It's wow. Actually not. It's the least sexy thing I've ever watched on the internet. I've never, whatever the opposite of an erection is, that's what happened to me. Like I had my penis shrunk to China's clit level watching it. And it was fucking horrible, and I hated it.
If only she had lived to be in the movie Teeth.
So. Yes.
China, Teeth, starring China. She just eats a dick off every time.
So, Evan is Evan. You are obviously we'll have you again on next week to go do Mandy like we had planned.
Right.
And I fucked all this up. But are you at all excited? I know you're an avid comic book fan, a little bit of a comic nerd. I've seen multiple Marvel films with you. How do you feel about the new Zack Snyder cut of Justice League dropping on HBO soon?
I'm interested in seeing his vision. Supposedly they're saying it's going to be like a 4-hour cut of a movie.
Yeah.
And they could break it up into like 6 parts with like cliffhanger little episodes.
Well, yeah, what I had heard is that they're going to do it like if you'd watched The Hateful Eight on Netflix, how they broke it up into like 4 episodes like that for like the super long version of it. I think that's what their plan is for HBO.
But they're putting like 20 to 30 million into this to finish all of the special effects, to probably add some more voiceover work, to score it, to do all this stuff. So it looks like if they're putting a decent effort into it and everybody says it's the best thing ever, I'll watch it.
I think that I'm just happy that finally Justice League will live up to the Spider-Man 3 we all knew it could be with the proper editing.
Is Spider-Man 3 the one with emo Peter Parker?
Yes.
In it?
Yes, it is. That is the one where he dances down the street. By the way, listen, go back and watch Spider-Man 3. It's not as bad as I remembered it. I remember leaving and thinking, man, this sucked. But watching it now, years and years later, it kind of has a warm place in my heart. And the more I think about it, evil Peter Parker, where he's this emo douchebag, that's what Peter Parker would be if he was evil. He would still be a total dork loser, just like the real Peter Parker. You just would like it. You wouldn't like him at all. So I thought it was a, I think it's an accurate depiction, and it's still a Sam Raimi movie, so I enjoy it personally. Now, speaking of Sam Raimi, fucking
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, it's been confirmed Sam Raimi is directing Doctor Strange into the madness or into the
I think it's a multiverse of madness.
Multiverse of madness. Which begs the question, and I think we talked about this on another episode, but I'd like to hear your take on it, Evan. Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell are inseparable. He makes an appearance in every single one, meaning that Bruce Campbell, star of the Evil Dead franchise, Burn Notice, and multiple other things, there's a good shot he makes his way into the MCU in this next venture. What if you were to cast him as any character not portrayed yet in the MCU, who do you throw Bruce Campbell in as? It's a tough decision.
Within the Doctor Strange?
Within the Doctor Strange, but I mean, I'm open to any suggestions that you have. I mean, a lot of the Marvel movies, they introduce characters in other places and all the time. It could just be a cameo. It could be a major part. I have my theories on who I think he would play best as, but I'm interested to see what pops in your old skull.
Well, with Doctor Strange, you could probably put him up in makeup and you can just have his sort of iconic voice as somebody like, what was it, Mephisto or Nightmare or
maybe a Blackheart, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Starting to work his way in.
You can spice up his voice. You can put him in makeup or even have him totally CG. He just has one of those iconic voices that can probably be shaped and molded to fit a character or take that villainous turn to accentuate the best of what he can offer to a part. I don't know off the top of my head. I probably have to think about it a lot longer anything else.
Here was my idea, okay? And this is where I think Bruce would be good. Bruce is great in his comedic timing. I don't know if I buy him as a straight out villain. But with the new Phase 4, and it's rumored they start working in the X-Men and stuff like that, and obviously the Fantastic Four is starting to become a real thing, I throw it out there, bring in a mutant, and the mutant I would cast him as, a little known one, actually debuted in the 90s cartoon, I put him in there as Morph. Just let him be Morph from the X-Men.
Yeah.
A shapeshifter, a jokester.
I know they want to probably go, they want to go young with a lot of those new characters, but you could say he was sort of outcast and he's been sort of long comes back.
Breaking up there, laughing. Lopez.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay.
You think they go young? Well, I think they always talk about going young with people, but I mean, Marvel does a great job of using their CGI to make people look young. Like Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel look great, and it was so subtle that it wasn't something that took me out of the film. You know what I mean? Unlike The Irishman, which was fucking shit. But you know, I think you could make him look a little bit younger. But also, I don't think that Morph has to be necessarily a young character. He could be an older mutant if you wanted to. I mean, he was made up for the kids' cartoon show, and he could end up being a lovable shape-shifting character that will eventually be ripped away from us in a later episode.
I think he should be played by The Flash. He should play The Flash.
The Flash? Hey, baby.
Yeah, because that's my favorite Marvel character.
What if they
Flash Thompson?
Yeah.
What if they just bring him back and he's still the announcer from the original Spider-Man movie? the wrestling announcer.
You could have him as the mailman for the Fantastic Four.
Ah.
Lumpkin, I think his name is.
Yeah.
If I can't remember. That'd just a little good cameo part. Kind of like your Stan Lee part that he's not going to be able to unfortunately do anymore.
Yeah, I wonder if they there was somebody who said that instead of Stan Lee doing cameos now, they should just have Deadpool make a cameo in every single Marvel movie to replace Stan, which I would 100% be behind.
I just hope they do another Deadpool movie, maybe an X-Force movie. But it's going to take – sounds like Marvel and Disney is going to take their time – with introducing the X-Men, but if they take another 5 years, how much older is Ryan Reynolds going to be? Is he going to want to do another Deadpool movie at that age?
Yeah, so, how are they going to make his... they won't even have to use makeup for him in the next one. He'll just look like that. He'll just look like a fucking prune that's been in the bathtub too long. Yeah. That makes sense.
It was like an angry... avocado had sex with another angry avocado.
Hey, so. How about this? Bruce Campbell gets introduced as Deadpool's wisecracking father, who's he's been estranged from all these years. Hey, what's going on there? And he's like, oh, this fucking dick. He's like, and he just acts like a cock, and it basically is Bruce Campbell. I like it.
That'd what if it's, instead of Ryan Reynolds, they have Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds.
Like, dig him up?
Yeah, it was a dead Burt Reynolds. I'm the Smoky Bandit guy.
What about Burt Kreischer as Deadpool? He's just naked. He doesn't wear a shirt because
that's the machine guy.
Yeah, that's the zenith of comedy, is just performing with your shirt off.
Deadpool, you can't be driving your car across America trying to get things from here to there like Coors beer.
Coors. The lighter light beer. Coors is probably, that's my least favorite thing to drink in the whole world. I'd rather just have a big old scotch and bleach than that.
Hey, Daddy, why do you gotta be molesting me all the time while we're driving? I gotta molest you because that's what I do. I'm Southern.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it was nice. It was cool when you could still write for Rugby Today, Evan.
Yeah, I miss it. Back to what we were talking about. I very much miss doing stuff, being productive. So
doing stuff.
Is there anything about is there, when this pandemic finally ends and I guess life goes back to normal in 2022, what do you think, is there any part of this that you're not gonna miss? Like, is there a thing that if it doesn't come back you'll be like, that's fine, I don't really give a shit, who fucking cares?
I don't know, all this mass shit is getting old.
I kind of like wearing a mask. And by the way, you want to know what's really weird with masks being required to be worn? How do they stop like underage buying at liquor stores when you can't, like, you show them your ID and you look like Sub-Zero, right? Like, you could show him, as long as your eye and your hair color matches, what the fuck are they going to say? Well, I can't take this off.
And worst thing is, whenever they ask, you just throw your rope with your knife attachment into their chest and say, come here and
get over here. It's yours.
Yeah. I wonder, I want to see and test the policy and wear the mask, but also just wear a banana hammock and see if I can be admitted to the McDonald's drive-thru with no car. Do you think that would...
A yellow one or just like American flag? I think American flag, you could do it. But if it's just like a solid color, because you're being a patriot, your patriotism is going to shine through. I think they'll take a little mercy on you and let you do it because you have the American flag. Well, but if you have like a yellow one, I don't think it's going to work.
I think if I need it, if I'm going to wear an American flag G-string, we're going to need like an extra 10 states just to cover up the whole fucking problem below the equator on my body.
Is that the special underwear you have that has the the picture of Florida as your dick.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good, that, hey, that's who they introduced Bruce Campbell as, Florida Dick. He's a new character in the in the MCU. And all he does is own tigers and gators and talk about how his rights are being infringed constantly. And yeah, he, oh, his name, it isn't Florida Man, it's Stand Your Ground. And all he does is actually, he just shoots anybody he sees that he suspects to be a villain.
You know, I know a good porn name is called Dangling Chad.
Dangling Chad.
I do have to admit, though, I have not watched Tiger King yet. So I'm, yeah, I just...
What things you are missing? The depths of white trashness you're missing out on.
I just don't feel the need to really watch it. I just, it doesn't, just stupidity on a wildlife preserve with guy wants a lot of tigers and gets, somebody gets killed and you got a, this Carol Baskin lady
that
and
bitch fucking Carol Baskins. Tiger King is great because it is the first thing that's been made in modern times that that like literally just only has white people, and there is nobody clamoring for any diversity being added to it. Like they're like, nope, this is a white thing, and this is it, and that can all stay right there.
Like, do you think Nick Cage as the Tiger King is a good casting?
I think Nick Cage will do an amazing job as the Tiger King. My problem is by the time it finally exists and is a thing, nobody's going to care hated. About the Tiger King anymore. Unless our sweet president during his second term finally gets him released for his movie debut, then that will be, that'll be what gets it done. Jeremy has removed his shirt, by the way, while this has been happening.
It's very hot up here.
We can't ignore the fact that Jeremy is topless right now and scratching his flakes like, oh, God. Just loosening his sweet Parmesan off of his fucking armpits. It's, oh, God, fucking disgusting. You look horrible.
Oh, man.
He looks
actually
a lot more comfortable,
plate of
though.
Spaghetti in front of me.
Oh, you actually have a plate of spaghetti in front of you? That's what you're shaving off into it? Say when. Make it stop. It's already dead.
Oh, God. Wow.
You're taking too much enjoyment out of that.
How any woman allows you to enter her is just completely beyond me. This is horrible.
It really helps when they're like really sedated and barely awake. So
You have a wife and you still sedate her?
Yeah.
Okay. I respect
it's
that.
It's easier that way.
I usually smother her with the pillow before we make love. So.
Oh, man. Jeremy, how much weight have you lost working at your new jobs?
Probably only five, but this job is actually not as strenuous as it was the last job, so I was still already pretty hard. I think I lost 20 pounds at the last job.
What are you doing right now?
I'm making sure that a major bottler is well stocked to distribute across most of Maryland. So
okay.
Yeah, you ever heard of a little company called Surge? Yeah,
isn't that like the knockoff of Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
I'm actually working for Jolt now. So.
Yes, yeah, Royal Crown Soda. That's who Jeremy's working for right now.
100% true. This week, I'm working for Pepsi, and my first day on the job, I choose my Regal shirt with the Warcraft on the back of it because I got like a whole box of them from Regal. Unbeknownst to me, I forgot. On the corner of the shirt is a nice big Coca-Cola logo on it.
So you wore the competition's thing into your first day at work?
Into the plant, yes. And they did notice.
They did?
So.
Like, no.
Did they tell you to turn inside out?
But I offered to use a Sharpie.
Did you walk past like the first supervisor and it was like that scene in the movie Invasion of the Body Snatchers? They just pointed at you and went... Tentacles fucking flew out of their body.
No, I think actually some of the people there actually do drink Coca-Cola secretly.
Yeah,
because they know it's better.
Yeah, you got that.
Coca-Cola's a lot better.
You got that one guy, fucking bug-eyed Steve, that comes over to you like, "Hey, man, if you need some Coca-Cola, I got some. But we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it here."
In the manager's room, they just drink Coca-Cola and all the wrong products. So.
Steve goes like this, and he has this Pepsi can, and then he unsleeves it and goes, "That's how I keep my sanity here." And then he just fucking snorts a big old rail of that white blow, gets fucking wet.
The Cola Wars. If only Billy Joel sang about it. The wars of the 80s. Oh, gosh. And everybody died if they didn't drink Coke or Pepsi. America was divided.
Oh, good stuff, man.
We didn't start the fire, but it's still burning in our crotches like a bad disease.
You know, I don't have... like I said, I kind of threw this episode together, but can I play you guys a special song I've been working on lately?
Sure.
I've sent this to Jeremy, but I don't know if you listened to it or not, but maybe I could get your input on it. So I found out recently, guys, I have enough songs that I've written over the last, like, between what I used to do, like my three go-to songs for stand-up, and all the new ones I've written during the quarantine, I have enough songs to make an actual album now. And I think this is going to be part of it. So I don't know. I'm not going to give you a lot of preface for it. I'm just going to let you hear it for yourselves. This is the new track I've been working on. Here you go.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the world can have you down, and you can feel like an outsider, a man who doesn't fit in with the circle and the regular norms of society. I know what that's like. I've been that kid, I've been that man. If you like that, well, this song's for you. My world is cold, devoid of love, warm by the fire late at night. Stone hard feelings I just can't fight now. But Saturday morning comes a shining light, full of joy and care, all right. All my jadedness won't stand a fight, oh no. I'm a Brody, not a regular phony. Hard-nosed man with temper hot. Now I wanna do a smile and clap. I'm a Brody, just a bigger little pony. Even in the dark there is a twilight. Sad to state defeating me in my final brody.
So there you go, guys. And then there's like four more verses of that. So,
well, if you ever do a music video, you have to dress up as a brony.
Yeah,
you have to.
100%. In fact, I want to do a music video and get multiple broni. I want us all in, like, I want a whole herd of us as all bronies.
Are, like, brony parties, like, the best gay orgies that there are to go to?
So it's funny you mentioned that. Some bronies, the brony community, when I wrote this song, I really tried to actually watch some... I wanted to familiarize myself with the brony community. And what I came to realize is that, hey, a lot of these guys, this is just a nerdy thing like anybody else is into.
Just like everybody else.
Okay. Now, I tried to be respectful of that, but if you go to look up bronies, like on the subreddit, there's a big subreddit, but the subreddit to that, which is called clopping. Okay. clopping is the term when one brony dude fucks another brony dude, and that has like three times the membership. So it's, and boy, is there some content with unicorn horns that you have never seen before. It is. There are things that Rarity has done on camera that can't be undone. And yes, that is the name of one of the My Little Ponies, Rarity, who's actually a unicorn that gets sent to in Gen 4. She is, Rarity is one of, she's not a real My Little Pony. She's a unicorn that lives with the My Little Ponies. That's why she's called Rarity. I learned.
Have you ever seen a Brody in person in the wild?
Yes, I have. I've driven past BronyCon before, and Justin Schlegel has been to BronyCon and interviewed a bunch of bronies before, and they're a fun loving people, let me tell you, and I'm very excited, and I think my brony song, I think it's inviting. I think they're gonna like it personally.
Are there like a lot of fights between the bronies and the guys that are into like strawberry shortcake?
Yeah, it's just like they're like, hey, we don't take kindly to your bronies around here, and it's like this dude with a fucking gnarly beard, but you turn around, he's wearing this frilly dress covered in strawberries, like, hey, get out of here, fag, like that.
And always there's like the big bully of all the strawberry shortcakes, who's like the purple pie man. So
yeah,
fuck all you up, Joe. He's the one that has sex with all the other brony strawberry shortcake guys.
Get your brony ass out of here. We're a brats convention. BRATZ, brats. That's a big.
Yeah. Good to bring it up 20 years.
Let's get out of here, Carl. And they hop on like it looks like a motorcycle, but it's actually just like a giant three wheeler that they like fucking have to pedal out of there. But they make noise. That'd be
make me a strawberry shortcake, fucker.
I think that's something we kind of overlooked. You know, everybody, when they talk about the post-apocalyptic times, immediately go to movies like, you know, Terminator or Mad Max, where you just wear like fucking old shoulder pads and you look like the Legion of Doom. I beg to differ. With nerd culture the way it is, I mean, we're going to have nothing but bronies and people that look like Tommy Simbazo everywhere we go. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. Everybody's going to be dressed up in just that type of shit and whatever their favorite fandom is, you know? Like, fucking Evan Lappin's gonna throw on his Stay Puft Marshmallow outfit, and that's how he's gonna live in there, and he's gonna peddle his fucking goods out on the street corner. He's gonna talk about that shit. I think that's what the society that we're headed for, that frankly President Trump wants at this point. It'll be fun.
My other favorite is the little music box convention, where everybody loves music boxes, but they look like the little kid from Road Warrior, where they just wear the loincloths and long hair. So, and they get their own, they have their own special music box in the hand, where they go.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I like it.
A little music box, like the little kid had in Road Warrior. So.
Oh, okay. They're all music box oriented. I gotcha.
I'll always remember the day the Road Warrior gave me my music box, and I still play with it now at age 120. And it like, makes me laugh.
Is that the guy with the plane at the end of the movie?
Yeah. No, the guy with the plane is Bruce Spence, who kind of leads the people. But you know, the little boy is actually the moderator at the end of the movie. So,
yeah. You know, they're making another Mad Max film because of the success of Fury Road, which is
it's going to be on the Furiosa. It's not Mad Max though.
Well, I'm fine with, because I don't know. Did you read any of the companion comics that graphic novel that came out with the movie? First of all, it's a fucking 10 out of 10. It shows it basically has three stories in it. One is how Immortan Joe took over the Citadel, and it's like his backstory, which is pretty rich and fun. It also tells a story of Mad Max about him getting his engine for his car again, because he has the Interceptor, and he has to... it's the story about how he gets an engine by basically going back to, not to Bartertown, but a different place to do Thunderdome. And he's fighting those guys that are, you remember the chase scene with like the guys who all have the spiky cars when they're driving through that one part? So it's their clan. He goes there to try to win their Thunderdome. And the prize is the fucking giant like 8-cylinder engine. And he wins, he beats their champion and gets the engine. But of course, there's some tragedy where he can't save a kid. It's horrible. And that's the kid that he's dreaming about at the when he's having those flashbacks. He's going, Max, and he sees that kid get killed. Not his son, which you would think. No, that's actually the kid he just watched die like a few days ago. So
I know about both movies and both sequels. The one you're talking about is actually called Mad Max Electric Boogaloo. The next one after that is going to be Mad Max the Quickening.
It's Mad Max Cruise Control. That's what it's called. But the third story in the graphic novels is really cool because it's all about Furiosa and basically her sneaking the girls out and like that whole backstory of what leads her up to actually freeing Immortan Joe's little harem of women. So it's exciting stuff. Good stuff. Good read if you ever want to go check it out.
Well, if they supposedly the next Mad Max Fury Road sequel prequel is going to be the Furiosa prequel, I think they've already looked into who they're going to cast as Furiosa, but it should be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing how she loses her hand.
Yeah, that would be fun. Although I will miss seeing the Tom Hardy Mad Max, because I thought he fucking nailed Mad Max, and I never thought I could accept somebody who wasn't Mel Gibson as Mad Max. But man, fucking Tom Hardy has like 4 lines in that whole movie, and he crushes it. Just
can I make a guess how she loses her hand? I'm gonna guess that there's like a big bowling off, and she has to have her hand shoved into the ball return. So
her backstory is the movie is Ernie McCracken, and she does the same thing to her. That's what she was a great bowler.
Yeah, exactly.
She gets Munsoned.
Yeah. So that's Mad Max Kingpin.
Max Kingpin. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I like it. I'm all for this right now.
That Kingpin was a long time ago. That people probably forgot about it, and they won't get it anyway. So.
Hey, Big Earn, why do you have so much sugar back here? I drink a lot of coffee. Is this legal? I don't know, but it sure is fun. This really feels familiar. It then becomes Groundhog Day of just her losing her hand.
He's done that a million times.
He does nothing but just take people to just cut off their hand at this bowling tournament. The guys fall for it every time. That's good. Bowling Hustle. You know, Kingpin is such a fucking great movie. I think it's honestly, the more I think about it, probably it's like my favorite comedy film ever made, Kingpin. There's not a part I dislike. It's cast perfectly. Everybody is just a 10 out of 10. The side characters are a 10 out of 10 in it. And Bill Murray, I think Bill Murray's finest work on camera, personally.
Probably the best movie about Amish people and learning out how they live and work too.
Yes. The best movie about milking a bull. The best movie about fucking getting your nipples hard when you open a refrigerator. It's just all around a great. The best movie about fucking eating an old lady landlord's pussy. Like there's no movie that equals this at all.
Best movie about punching tits. So.
Yes. I forgot about the scene where he fucking boxes her titties. Man. This shit is so fucking funny. And there's still like... the movie's so good. There's one part that I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but God damn it. There's a scene where Bill Murray sees Roy Munson, played by Woody Harrelson, and it's present day in the movie. And he's like, Roy Munson, and he like hauls off like he's gonna punch him, and he's like, hey, you're not so mad about that thing that happened all those years ago. I said I was sorry, and I really meant it. And it's just the least, it's the most piece of shit way I've ever heard a apology said, and I fucking love it so much. And I've done that to people, like, because, like, when somebody's really mad, I'm just like, hey, I'm really sorry, and I meant it. Like, that.
Not like usual.
God damn it, that shit is so good. It's so fucking funny. Randy Quaid's great. Even the chick from the Weird Science Show who's in it, who I don't think did anything other than the Weird Science Show. Yeah. She did these two things, and then that I couldn't tell you another thing she's in other than that. There you go.
I think she played the queen in like one of those hoity-toity British films or something. So
I feel like if she had just married the director of Resident Evil, she could have been Mila Jovovich this entire time. I mean, their acting chops are about the same. Unless there's some big Mila Jovovich fans out there. All right, fine. I'll go fuck myself.
It's like Jovinovich.
I don't know, but she married the director of the Event Horizon, who has made a lot of horrible Resident Evil movies since then, which it hurts me because the Event Horizon is such a great film in comparison to the other shit he's made, but it is what it is. Oh, speaking of Resident Evil, I'm playing the new Resident Evil 3 right now, Jeremy, and it is a hoot. The remake of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, and let me tell you, that Nemesis ain't fucking around, and he gives zero fucks about your safe rooms or anywhere you run. He just comes through walls constantly. It is very good at just having... you just feel like you're constantly being pursued throughout the entire game, and it is uncomfortable to say the least.
Not like Katie Lang's constant craving.
Yes. Actually, I play Katie Lang usually when I turn the game on just to feel a little bit more comfortable.
Resident Evil and Katie Lang get together with constant craving for evil.
Evan is so lost in the conversation right now, as am I. I'm not going to pretend I know what's going on.
As if he isn't a Katie Lang fan, so...
Well, hey, listeners, thanks for joining us this week. I realize this is a thrown together last minute episode. Mr. Lappin, where can people find you at?
Nowhere right now, because I'm not really having any content out there.
Yeah, but you do the tweets from time to time, and you're a wonderful photographer, and people can go online and look at the things you've done. Where can they find you?
Twitter, it's at Evo Rugby, EVO Rugby. So once rugby gets back into swings, I'll probably be on hopefully USA Rugby if it's still around. And then Old Glory DC for MLR coverage. So there's some interesting things coming up. Probably within the next couple of weeks, they're going to do the MLR collegiate draft. I don't know if I'm going to be covering any of that, but there are some other, hopefully they'll be getting back in the swings. They'll get some good news, and everybody will start getting back into work. And I can actually be gainfully employed. So that's always good, always fun.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
And also listen to Evan Lappin's podcast called Lappin' It Up.
Lappin' It Up with Lappin.
And it's, you know, his opening theme by Kiss called Lap It Up! Lap It Up! Yeah, motherfucker, lap it up! Lap up my cum!
Well, actually, that's what... Lapping It Up is actually it is his podcast, but it's actually an ASMR type show where he it's just the sound of cats licking up his semen that he's jerked off into a bowl, and you just listen to that.
Not the visual I want the rest of my day.
Yeah, usually I start my day just watching some oriental woman just eat a cucumber for like an hour. So you know.
Welcome back to another episode of Lappin' It Up with Evan Lappin. And today's batch, I had a lot of pineapple. We're going to see how Mr. Fuzzlekins reacts to the new brew that I've concocted. Sit back, enjoy another half hour of Lappin' It Up with Evan Lappin. And then it's just...
Uh-huh. I always
it's good.
Appreciate these times I have with you, Eric and Jeremy.
It's my favorite part. And hey, you can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. It's Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's hosted by a friend of the show, Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan. Currently only in the virtual status. Hey, I think I'm gonna have an album coming out soon, so come and check that shit out. I'm putting out constant stuff online. You can always listen to me live every noonday at Sunday afternoon for Laugh Finder. And stick around to the end of the episode so you can hear my fun brony song in its entirety. Jeremy, take us out of here. I think you said I'm in love.
I'm lapping it up.
Oh, I'm lapping it up. I got you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the world can have you down, and you can feel like an outsider, a man who doesn't fit in with the circle and the regular norms of society. I know what that's like. I've been that kid, I've been that man. If you like that, well, this song's for you. My world is cold, devoid of love. Warm by the fire late at night. Stone hard feelings I just can't fight now. But Saturday morning comes a shining light, full of joy and care, alright. All my jadedness won't stand a fight, oh no. I'm a brody, not a regular phony. Temper hot. Now I wanna do a smile and clap. I'm a brody, just a bigger little pony. Even in the dark there is a twilight. Sad to stay defeating me in my fight. Brody. Now Monday's here, I hear him laugh and jeer. Still gimp shirt right off my back, working just as hard as an applejack now. The cold hard stares as I walk by, I just crack a smile and live the lie. A little too much of a flutter shot. I'm a brody, just a colorful jabroni. Joy and care, it says a lot. To try to just stop discord's old chaos. A brody, just a bigger little pony. I don't care if they stare at me, I'm just too much of a damn rarity. A brony. Me and my pals hang out and watch a flick. References and laughs till we are sick, because we all know friendship is magic. And we dress up and frolic around. Neighbors banging on the floor from all the sound. Plastic coos on our feet up and down. Bronies, Santa like little ponies. Pixie glitter face into our chops. Don't give a heck if you call the cops. Yeah, we're bronies.